Welcome to Radio Freak America 18 on Duel, and I'm back again, thankfully. Tonight, there is no Rax, and there is no Condor. But we do have almost a special guest, aww, Skylar and Mary Chan. Say hello, ladies.
Hello.
But we do have Fully Elite, the most special of guests. I've been wanting her on the show for a long time, been around the scene longer than all of us put together, and it's Meme. And if I may, Meme, Meme is, first of all, a phenomenal artist. Art blows me away, much like Slip. And Meme specializes in media and culture jamming, and we're actually going to have a show in the future where Meme is going to tell us all about that. So, Meme, again, thank you for joining us. welcome again. What was that?
I was trying to say thank you, but I think I modulated too loudly. Let me try again.
Please. Excellent. I understood it that time. How are you, Meme?
Relatively decent.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for co-hosting the show tonight. And is that cool with you? Can we do a future show?
Fantastic with that.
Yeah, I would love that. And like I said, it's been much too long.
Out of preparation. I think what we ought to maybe try to do also is like come up with a bibliography, like when we have certain topics, so that people can, if they want to, you know, find out more about certain stuff, they can, you know, go find out a little easier.
Yeah, you know, we do try to do that with some links. You know, most of the stuff is, you know, we try to get as deep as we can. I think the stuff you're going to talk about, you're actually, you know, it's going to be actual intelligent speech. So definitely we can put up a special section on the news page or on the radio page, bibliography of what you'll discuss.
I kind of a do-it-yourself kit for taking over the world.
That would be phenomenal. Yeah, and if I could, if you'd let me, even if I could make a text file out of that, put on a text file page too, I'll just paste it up all over the site. Because
it'd be really rad.
Yeah, if I may, listeners, I met Meme at the 2600 meeting, you know, the same meeting where I met Condor and Rax, and I can't consider myself any more fortunate to meet these three people, these three hackers. What they've taught me, they've taught me an immense amount of things, and Meme especially has blown me away. Yes, thank you again, Meme. So yeah, we definitely expect a future show. Definitely expect a future show.
That would be really rad.
Yeah. Just today, the whole week actually, but especially today, I received a lot of listener email. Received some email from Rax. You couldn't make it tonight, but a lot of links, really good links to stories, to important issues, to hacks that I'd really like to discuss, but we've got a lot of other things I'm going to have to discuss tonight, and unfortunately we don't have the time. So what I'm going to do is on oldschoolfreak.com put up a special section in the news page, you know, the front page of Old School Freak, and list all those links, maybe write little summaries so all your listeners can check them out, because they're really good stuff. And thank you, all the listeners, and again, thanks, Rax. Sorry I couldn't be here tonight.
Rax.
Say Rax on the modulator. Yeah.
I feel like I have an artificial larynx now, you know.
Well, you're a smoker or something. You got that little, that tube, what's that called? Tracheotomy?
You can do those truth commercials, you know?
Yeah.
Call from Ram Stranger on the phone.
I smoke for 20
years. This is no joke. I actually went to the emergency room one night. It was about 4:30 in the morning, and this cop came in, and they're about to arrest this guy, and he's like flailing his arms around real funny. And then I saw he had a hole in his neck, and he couldn't talk, and somebody had stolen his artificial larynx.
No way! Ah!
That was the scariest emergency room I've ever been in. I wrapped my purse around my leg and the chair so that if I dozed off, you know, the junkie sitting next to me who was handcuffed, you know, with my...
Nice. Very nice.
I never go to a county hospital.
Yeah, I'll try to avoid them now. Stealing a that's going to be pretty tough, dude. You have to knock that dude cold ass out.
You know, bloody needles sticking out of garbage cans.
Oh.
On the floor, you know, you don't even
want to
know.
Yeah, no, I actually don't. we discussed that, actually. Do not go dumpster diving at a hospital.
That is right.
Yes. I'm going to have to stop everybody right here. We've got probably the worst news we've ever had on the show, and that is the final decision by the Librarian of Congress on the taxing of internet radio. You know, CARP brought up their proposal, and it was, what, 7 cents per song, per listener, retroactive to 98. Well, that was turned down. That was driven away, only to be replaced by 2 cents. And any amount is unacceptable. It's going to put every hobby broadcaster, every broadcaster who had a dream of playing their favorite music, music that meant a lot to them in their hearts, and giving it to listeners, sharing this art, this culture, and basically crushing it, because they can't afford it. They're not making money. They're losing money.
That's the thing. This is not for profit. I can understand, you know, outrage. You know, being an artist myself, I understand how people feel about pilfering, you know, if they're trying to, you know, make a living somehow. But we're not talking about profiteering off someone else's work. We're talking about what is covered under fair use.
Right, and from what I've heard, there's been no mention of the artists getting any of that funds, any of that money.
Well, this is very analogous, you know, to people, you know, saying who stole from who, and that's the thing. It's like original sin. It's like there's one forgotten party in this whole intellectual property issue, and it's the artist. They got ripped off by the publisher. Why isn't anybody shedding a tear about that?
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. And I said this before. MP3's Music on the Internet has helped me find new music, groundbreaking music that I enjoy, and that if I can, I purchase the CD, whether it's off the internet or I see a CD. Hey, I'd listen to that on the internet. I'll buy that band CD. I think it's beneficial. I know it's beneficial.
I agree. I think Napster did a really good thing when they tried to coin the term music exploration, because in reality, a lot of people want to, you know, they hear something on the radio or they hear a friend playing something, and then, you know, that usually encourages them to go out and buy it because you like it so much. You want to know more about the artist. You probably want the album art, you know, and the lyric sheet. So there's value in buying the physical disc, but if you have only casual interest, you're not really infringing because you're not even going to listen to it that much.
At the same, but I know, and most people know that. Most people explain that, and, you know, the big music industry companies did it, the whole Metallica incident, and there's a picture, I still have it somewhere, that always just amused me. It said, if you're downloading Napster, you're downloading communism. It was great. I took this picture of this guy, like Satan wearing a communist outfit, putting like his hand like on the shoulder of some little boy downloading a Napster song. And
hey, it's the new Cold War, you know?
Yeah.
Like, since we're bringing back, you know, the old military-industrial complex, you know, we kind of got to bring back the xenophobia and the fear of free stuff in the land of freedom. You know, free is evil, but freedom, it's like doublespeak.
Big time. Big mm-hmm. time. I don't want to hear Clear Channel on the internet. I don't like to hear it on the radio. And that's where all of this is going.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, yeah, there'll be competition. You know, they use that word, and it's just so funny because in reality, it's kind of like the elections. You know, you have two parties to choose from, but the thing is they're controlled by the same interest, and that's the same thing here. Media consolidation has taken us into a downward spiral where we have fewer choices, and those choices are the same people anyway.
Yeah, and those choices are going to be reduced. FCC is going to allow, I believe, media corporations to, a newspaper and a TV station in the same city, something like that? Well, that's all going to be going out the window. They're going to let huge corporations own everything. Time Warner, Clear Channel, there aren't going to be any choices. They're going to own everything. They're going to own the internet. What are we going
to
do?
Well, they're trying to cut their costs here, you know. They're the money, and so they got to reduce their costs even more and charge us more, and basically, we need to understand our you know, proper place in this world. We're supposed to be slave consumers. You know, we're supposed to obey and shop. Shut up and shop, as Jello Biafra, you know, once coined it, because that's really what they're trying to make us be, as slaves.
So basically, we're going to be listening to internet radio streams supported by Viacom and listening to commercials in between the favorite songs that we wanted to hear.
Yes.
Yeah. And now, you know, they've blurred the lines so much between content and the commercials, you know, with all these product placements in the movies and tie-ins between actual pop music, you know, and a product. You know, it's getting more ambiguous as to, you know, what the actual content is. You know, lighter and less filling.
Right. Exactly. You're not going to be able to listen to your favorite music on those. You're going to listen to their favorite music, what they want to sell you. They want to sell you Britney Spears songs because she's selling Pepsi, and because Pepsi has a huge advertisement in, what's that new movie that just came out? Minority Report. It's all just the sick conglomeration with the government being the strong arm of these corporations. So, I said this earlier. What are we going to do? What are the listeners, you got to do something. Everybody has to do something. I've written my congressman about that. He replied, blah, 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 smoke a mask. I'm going to do something now. I know I said this in a past show. If this goes down, and it did, and shit's dying off left and right already, I'm going to set up my own server, my own, even if it's a crappy box, my crappy cable connection. If I don't care if I lose my cable connection. If I have to do dial-up for us, I don't care, because I believe in this. I know this is wrong, because I'm freaking broadcasting on the internet, and I appreciate the music, the new music, the different music that I hear.
Well, I don't understand is, you know, there's all these rumblings about how, oh, we're going to have to, you know, regulate the net more, you know, and they want people to log users or register and things like that, and it's like, what's the point? You know, the airwaves were regulated because they were a finite resource. So it was just so much ether, and they had to restrict bandwidth, and that's understandable. So in the old days, you know, these radio and TV stations were basically trustees, you know, to the public interest, and you had to have, you were allowed some degree of advertising, but you also had to do public service and give back to the community because this belonged to the people. Now it's like the corporate interests have subverted the very concept of public ownership of the airwaves, and now they're trying to spread it onto the internet and cable TV and everywhere else.
Yeah, because there's a lot of money there.
Oh.
There's a lot of money, and boy, they want it.
Oh.
Yeah, when you hear PSAs now, 11 o'clock at night on your Clear Channel station.
It's yep. At all.
Yeah, lots of people listening then.
XM. It's like I see their billboards everywhere, and I'm thinking, how much money are they spending for all that? Why do they even need to advertise if they're one of the few choices you have?
Yeah, no kidding. Subscription-based.
All that money. It's a public works program for rich people who already have money. They
yeah.
don't want to give money to you. They just want to give it to each other.
This is true. True words were never spoken. I am going to do something. I am going to, somehow, some way, I'm going to set up a server, and I'm not going to broadcast copyrighted music. I'm not going to broadcast signed artists. First of all, because I don't like most of it. Second, I don't feel the need. I think people should hear the different stuff. That's why I like the internet radio. That's why I think that's the whole point of it, is to hear things you've never heard before, whether it's licensed or not. Maybe I will play some. I don't know. Maybe I'll play our shows.
I think it would be so cool if we all turn on, tune in, and drop out, and basically stop participating in a system that subverts, you know, our basic values and marginalizes the real artists that are out there, because there are so many people who can't get their music heard any other way except in a non-commercial venue. And they act like, oh, this is piracy. Well, no, piracy might be some guy selling CDs out of the back of his car. Or for that matter, why don't we talk about the piracy of, you know, how they give people bad contracts and take away their intellectual property rights as individuals, and the only people who have intellectual property rights anymore are corporations who can afford the lawyers.
Yeah.
If we drop out, we should just play material that's by us and for us, and then we don't get into all this business unless they become the copyright police and proactively, you know, come after you for playing your own music or something.
I totally agree. All of this manipulation is only driving me away from what they're trying to shove down my throat.
Exactly. I could live without it. It's like
yeah.
you know, the Buy Nothing Day that Adbusters sponsored. That was, I think, the ultimate virus, you know, because once you get people thinking like that, that they can basically drop out, you know, just don't participate, because you're sending them a message. All they understand is money. And if they stop making money, maybe they'll get the message.
Yeah, and we all need to follow that. I heard a phone in the background. Do you have to get that?
No, that was my other line.
Okay, all right. Just let me know. You know, when you have to go or anything you need to do, let me know.
Sure.
So, listeners, I urge similar action. Do whatever you can. Any action, some action. Just do something. If you can, write your congressman. If you can, set up your own pirate broadcasting.
I was about to say, this is almost a throwback to the 70s. I remember when I was going to high school, how many of us were, you know, interested in radio, but the problem was all of it was commercial, and we only had one non-commercial station in the city, and it was like a 100-watt, you know, station that you couldn't even hear, you know, outside the neighborhood.
Right.
And it was a big deal back then to, you know, cobble together whatever transmitter equipment you could and do pirate radio, you know, like 10-watt radio, and we used to do that all the time back then, and it was like a really dangerous thing. It was like as underground as you get, and we're going to be like that all over again.
So this is nothing new to you, is it?
Oh, yes, the weird thing is, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's so weird how, you know, just how everything is like a infinite progression of the same old crap.
Yeah. Oh, how did the MPAA ever get through the invention of the VHS tape? I have no idea how. They need to embrace the new technology, the RIA, the MPAA. They need to adapt to the new world, for crying out loud.
The public in general doesn't want to embrace new technology. I work at a store that sells movies, and half the people I run into go, I don't want no confangled DVD player. I don't want to do anything new that's actually more convenient than a VHS. DVDs are just a phase. I'm this close to going, exactly, sir, much like the horse's carriage. No.
Or CDs.
Oh, yeah.
A wagging the dog is, you know, that there's always been a cultural lag. I mean, did they go around and take a Zotby poll to determine if people wanted VCRs? No. You know, somebody had a good idea and they produced it and made it, you know, cost-effective enough, like Moore's Law, and the prices went down. And once the prices went down, it became more accessible. And then consumers who would otherwise not be demanding a new technology are usually adopting it. You had the early adopters who tend to be enthusiasts, you know, or, you know, higher income. And then after a while, it proliferates. And they have always been behind the times in terms of responding. Like, they were against tape rental. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's say against the tapes themselves. They were against tapes being licensed. They thought they were going to lose all this money. And then it turned out to be the most profitable channel for them. And likewise with the tape rental, they went after all these mom and pop places. And I think that's the thing is, they have a preference for corporate types, but they have an absolute hatred and resentment for people as individuals and the small mom-and-pop non-commercial entities out there who just want to run a small, maybe foreign movies and art movies type of rental place. They don't want that to exist. They want it all homogenous like.
Right, and you know what? And they show that blatantly by their use of new technology, like region coding DVDs.
Let's get the original DivX. Remember that?
That was a horrible idea.
It was. I was like, oh, they're going to make it illegal for poor people or people who've been bankrupt or can't get credit to be able to watch media? Yeah, that fortunately was dead on arrival, more or less. But it just goes to show you how out of touch they are with the potential markets themselves. These people live in their own world.
The people do have the potential to fight this sort of thing, actually. And Skyler might remember this, but there's a small town not too far from where we're located where, I mean, the town was mostly consisted of Ma and Pa stores. I think the only main chain retail I can think of was a couple gas stations and a Subway, I think. And what they wanted to do was put a Walmart in there, one of those huge Walmart super centers. And everyone was against it because these people who live in the town usually would own this stuff. They didn't want to lose business to Walmart. And what they actually did was they protested and protested, and they actually prevented Walmart, one of the world's largest retailers, you know, from actually going in there. So people do have power if they put their minds to it.
You do, and that's the thing. It's called the power of the pocketbook. And I think when you really get down to it, it's always going to come down to one thing. They don't understand anything but money.
That's right. What did you say, Skyler? Most people...
People are just afraid to take action. They're afraid of the repercussions of it. I mean, in this society, we're trained to listen to the government, listen to corporations, do as you're told, stay in line. You're a name, you're a number in the system.
But sleep, obey, consume.
But as a friend of ours was explaining to us, she mentioned this a while ago, a friend of us, because if we, you know, just naturally always obeyed the higher authority, never questioned anything... There wouldn't be an America. We'd still be being ruled by the British colonies, you know?
That's true. Well, okay, and before we get any deeper, I'm going to urge listeners to do something about this. You have to take action. Don't just, oh, well, okay, well, at least it's not 7 cents. No, don't do that. That's what they want.
I remember back when I was working for the studio in Atlanta, I knew a graphic designer who had been, one of the original hippies, basically was from that whole era, and she was like trashing my generation, saying, you're part of this Generation X, they call it, and it's the first downwardly mobile, generation, and it's like totally trashing us, and I didn't understand her at the time because I thought, how arrogant. But then I realized that we have been dumbing this country down through commercialization and through television to the degree that each generation... It's perceivable to them that subsequent generations are really missing out and are being spoon-fed a homogenized, dumped-down worldview.
I was just going to say that mass homogenization of our society, of our culture.
Yeah, and so it's so funny. I remember resenting that characterization, and now I look back on it, and I'm like, wow, does she have any idea how much she really understated the problem? Because... going to school, two times, and going back the second time and noticing people who I would have considered peers a few years earlier, how out of touch they were, that they didn't know about certain books, or they didn't know about certain theories, or they didn't know about certain art and things like that. And it's like we're all being subjected to this, status quo, dumbed down view, and people feel intimidated. They feel like the worst thing you can do is be different. To like somebody says, what's your favorite TV show, and you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like you're a social third wheel.
I like Friends.
Friends. It's just what Skyler said. People are scared.
Mm-hmm. I like Static. I like watching Between the Channels.
I don't watch TV anymore.
Sniffs that cable connect. Little. She likes Van Eck emissions.
Yeah, I like, fooling with my TV.
Hell yeah.
Playing with my TV.
TV's evil.
Do you like Friends, Skylar?
Yeah, it's a soul stealer.
It is a soul stealer. No, she does not like Friends.
It says one thing. If you stare at the static long enough, you'll see it. It'll say, need.
Help me, I'm trapped in the television. Let me out.
There's new...
Teach us self-hatred. It's a form of fascism. What they're doing to you... is they're basically piping into your home, this is how your house should look. You should have a manicured lawn. Your hair should look like this. And it's like obey, consume, like you were saying earlier. And it's a steady drumbeat. And it's so, endemic and everything that we can't separate it from anything. It's part of everything. You can't get away from it anymore.
That's true. But, I think if you try, you can.
Well, that's the thing. It is a choice, and I think we're not at a point where we can't turn around. I mean, like that movie Minority Report, it was like the ads were so intrusive. You remember they would, scan you and know it was you and try to sell you something personally and download your buying history and make a suggestion, and you couldn't get away from it. The guy was like copping drugs in a tunnel in Skid Row, and the ads were recognizing him and calling his name while he's doing it.
That is going to occur, by the way, and actually that's a perfect segue. Sean Kennedy, the fucking man, if I may, he has a show, The Sean Kennedy Show, Monday nights on Rant Radio, the same people who stream our show. Last night I listened to the show and I heard something exceptional, something revolutionary, and it was futuristic, it was cyberpunk, it was called, I believe, The Sean Kennedy Chronicles, Tales from the Afternow, and it was basically... It was him broadcasting from the future. And I can't stress enough how revolutionary it was, how phenomenal it was. He basically began from September 11th and was telling us how the world ended up and what it was like in the future. I don't know what year it was. I don't think he knew. And the future he described, this horrible cyberpunk wasteland where the core politicals, as they call it, own everything and control everything, and the shock troops that control everything you read and listen to, where you have to have a listener license to even listen to any kind of broadcast, I believe has begun. I don't think I'm paranoid. I don't think I'm full of conspiracy theories. I think I'm full of the truth. That's right, damn it. Not full of shit, I'm full of truth. I really think this is bad. That's right, exactly.
Your paper.
What, you were going to say something, Mary Chan?
No, I was making funny gestures of Skylar. Skylar, are you going to say something?
No, they're making funny gestures. This is very serious.
Hey, I'm not going to say something. Thank you
Please do.
I don't know what you're talking about, that a whole future where everyone's, like, controlled by the government and everything. It reminds me of this one story by Kurt Vonnegut, Harrison Bergeron, where they control everyone. If you're exceptionally strong, they stick weights on you. If you look good, they cover you in masks. You cannot be different. You have to be equalized to everyone else. And if you rebel, you get killed.
And then consider this. We got to read those books. Now you've got these, Bible thumpers. Now, I don't want to offend anybody who's of faith, but, you know, there's religious extremism in all cultures, and there are a lot of people who say, hey, I'm a Muslim, but, you know, I don't want to kill Americans. And then there are people, you know, who are saying I'm Christian, but I'm not one of these people who want to put gay people in concentration camps. And the thing is we've got this schism in America where things are getting more and more polarized, and it's to a point now where one group wants to, you know, impose its views on another to the extent that you can't even get a decent education anymore because you got to take all the rough edges off. So there's going to be no more Catcher in the Rye, no more George Orwell, no more Aldous Huxley. You know, it's like we're trying to Disney-fy America to the point that there is going to be no rough edges. Our culture is going to be this homogenous veneer of niceness.
Yeah, and it's going to spread across the globe, our biggest export.
They're going to bore everyone to death. They're going to anesthetize the planet with, homogenized, prefab culture.
Yeah, but the marketing makes it so attractive. I think...
How else can an artist make a living, honestly, though, in America? I remember my parents saying, oh, you're going to be a starving artist when you grow up. Everybody was terrified that I was going to become an artist. And I even was terrified of being an artist because I thought, I can't be a bum. And so I ended up being a medical technologist and got so burned out from that, I thought, well, I want to do art. And then someone said, why don't you do commercial art? And I did that, and the thing was is I was really good at it, but I started to resent after a while that I was subverting my aesthetic sensibilities, you know, for money. Because a lot of times the only way an artist can make any money in this world is to sell out. To please others. To do what's expected of you. Like if you make a hit record, they don't want you to take a risk. They want something just like the last thing you did.
They want a sure bet.
Actually, the funny part is I knew a guy actually who was from Moscow, and he grew up there in the 80s when Gorbachev was around, and he was telling me his stories, because he's actually an artist too, and you actually had to have an artist license back in those days, actually, and you weren't allowed to do, and even if you did have the license and were legally allowed to do forms of art, you couldn't even do what you wanted to do. You had to do, you know, communist propaganda.
So and it was actually, glorification of the state or glorification of the church.
Exactly, and he actually got to the point where he didn't want to do that anymore, and he ended up... Sorry, Bill sat on me.
Sorry, I'm sitting on her lap, pardon me.
And what he actually did is he actually started selling his own original artwork on the street, and of course, you know, you get arrested for that back then, and he actually managed to avoid it because he discovered a lot of loopholes in the laws and whatnot, and he actually didn't get caught, and he ended up, you know, according to him, coming to America and getting broke anyway, but still, you know, I mean, just that whole idea of you have to license to just do what you like, and that's just really sad and scary at the same time.
It's like we're all our kids or something.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
You need a license to do anything. Like, you need a fishing license. You need a driver's license. And yet, you know, people forget this, but in the UK, there are people who have, you know, they have no choice but to get a license for a television
Yeah. To get a license for something that bad. Actually, is TV better over there? I don't know.
It depends. You know, people used to put it down and say, oh, you know, there's only like two channels, but, you know, that's all changed. You know, I don't think it's all state run anymore. But in the last couple of years, I have actually found that the BBC is producing much better news than the American Bureau. So it tells you how bad we've got.
That is true. I've actually heard there are European stations that would play something like Freedom Downtime. And that's unheard of.
Yeah, well, like Germany and Holland, it's like they actually respect youth culture. You know, they don't lock up hackers. They understand what hackers are. They're not proliferating a false point of view about what hacking is. Whereas in America, it's synonymous with, you know, they don't understand the difference between using a computer to commit a crime and just being a curiosity-oriented person who wants to deconstruct and understand how things work.
Yeah. There's a point I want to bring up that's actually applicable to everything we've been talking about. First of all, and that it is take action. And second, how can you take action? Well, like I said, set up your own pirate broadcasting. Yeah, if it's pirate, if it's illegal for you to broadcast music on the internet, then hell yeah, it's pirate, and do it. You know, let them come get you.
Or use your friends' music. That's the thing, is maybe all this time we've been doing the work for these big mega corporations and publishers, and they're just so greedy that maybe we need to get to a point where we stop playing their music.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, play. I got a friend who has a band. I'll play his music. I'll play other, you know, music that's given out freely on the internet. That stuff I want to play. The different stuff. I'm not going to play that freaking, you know, the molded crap that they try to stuff in our throats.
We got friends to play music. We can give them their stuff.
Support your local artists.
Well, yeah. And if I may finish, okay, so you're going to do that, right? So make your own pirate broadcasting. Make your own freaking internet if you have to. You know, set up 802.11, share with your neighbors, run some freaking cable, I don't care. Do it. It might come to that someday. The internet might be controlled to the point where we have to set up our own pirate internet, our own networks.
I remember back, you know, when I was getting into computers in the beginning, it was all BBSs. And I'll tell you what, it was, like, really hard to get on because there were so many people who, you know, wanted to access, you know, files. And so I'm willing to bet that it would not be as hard to proliferate a closed community, you know, these days than it would have been back then with just, you know, doing dial-up.
Yeah, I know it can be done. And third, first action. Second, set up your pirate networks. Do whatever you can. Third, keep that old technology. As this progresses, as the future gets closer to us, they're going to try to control technology because they know they can't control the content. You're going to find digital rights management. You're going to find when you purchase technology that it will keep you from doing what you want with it. So hang on to your old technology. Someday it's going to be very, very useful.
I really agree with that because I think people are so caught up in the drive to upgrade, you know, to stay ahead, have the latest and the greatest. They don't realize that they're losing some, you know, confidentiality and some control every time they update to newer technologies because they're becoming more and more intrusive. It's like the TiVos, for instance, you know, these PBRs turn out to be collecting demographic data and tracking people's viewing habits. And so really, whether we like it or not, we are actively engaged with the enemy even when we think we're passively consuming.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, let them try to control my 46, right? Running frickin' Slackware.
I was about to say, my favorite computer shopping store is eBay. I love the fact that I can go on there and get really well-engineered old equipment, you know, like Sun and SGI, for a song, for a fraction of what even a consumer machine like an iMac or a Gateway or something like that would cost.
Actually, though, there's a lot of problems with eBay, which is basically eBay's become so, you know, in a sense, corporate that it's gotten to their head so much that they have a really bad reputation to shoot first and ask questions later. There was, I don't really remember the whole thing, but there was some incident where basically there's this they were basically like canceling everyone's account if they were selling something where they used a certain word in it, because they had been misinformed this word like meant little boy porn or something weird like that, and it didn't actually.
And a view of, you know, policing themselves, because I remember when the news people were saying, oh, people can get incubators and things like that for you know, making anthrax and and so there's always a lag, and they're very, very reactive because they're terrified to get shut down, so they tend to be a little heavy-handed, you know, when they try to police themselves.
Yeah, not to mention all the fraud. Well, regardless, save that old technology. I just got a, somebody at my work was going to toss an HPUX server. I think it's got HPUX 10, I forgot the model number. And I said, no way, I'll take that, and I took it. So I got that in my office now. Hang on to that old technology, folks.
Absolutely.
It's very
and
useful.
And don't necessarily see any piece of hardware as an end unto itself. I remember when I got fired from this ISP, I was like real mad because it was the middle of the day, and I decided to go trashing before I left the building, and I found this big, huge tower. And
yeah.
Of course they took the hard drive out of it, but the thing was, is there was a bunch of cards inside. You know, so I cannibalized that. I had another call server one time that I found that did have a hard drive in it and all these Dialogic boards. And me and my friends built a, you know, answering service, you know, with those boards. And so it's like a lot of times something that someone else doesn't want, well, it may not be good as, you know, the freestanding machine, but maybe the components can be used. You know,
oh, yeah.
Or maintenance.
Definitely, definitely. Use all that hardware, cannibalize it, and keep it, because you might need it someday.
Like power supplies. I mean, geez, you know, everybody says, oh, this is an obsolete machine. Well, it might be, you know, maybe you don't want those floppy drives, maybe you don't want the CPU, but you know what, the power supply is still good.
That's right.
The case might still be good. I've been seeing a lot of people converting cases, like, to classic computers, like SGI Indigos and Next Cubes, and putting Intel, you know, or other architecture inside of there.
Yeah, use it. My favorite place to go are the electronic surplus stores. I love those places.
An iMac into a bong. All the innards out. Put glass on the front and had a hose on it. And
that's right.
A pole on the top.
Make a big hookah.
Like hookah.
Scoot over. Scoot over. We are squished here in the Old School Freak in the Radio Freak America studios. No, scoot the chair over. Let me get it. Oh, my back is killing me. All right. That's much better.
How much room have you got there?
Not much. Well, we're all hunching over this one mic. It's not as bad as my new sound card.
Joel doesn't believe in, like, I don't know, three chairs?
Furniture? No, I'm going to buy another chair now just because of tonight. Just for you. Look who's got the chairs. I'm kneeling on the floor. You guys are like the queens. And again, thanks for being with us, Meme. I'm not big on possessions, personally. I got my lab. I got, I got my scooter, my bike.
You're not into the Martha Stewart thing, then.
What's that?
Not into the Martha Stewart
thing. I've aligned these computers so the color matches perfectly
right.
And the monitors with the wall. It's a good thing.
That's right. If Martha,
home and electronics.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Martha Stewart has a bunch of, test sets and notebooks and books, you know, and that's about it. If she's got, you know, empty walls and
I've color-coded these U.S. West memo pads a number and color, starting with the information they hold inside.
She's not kidding, folks.
Thing.
I really do have a U.S. West memo pad. Anyways, yeah, not big on possessions, especially furniture.
As opposed to repossession.
That's right. Okay, hold on. I'm taking a big swig of a caffeinated beverage here.
Can I use byproducts on?
Refreshment. Okay, you know what? I want to tell a little story.
You're frothing.
I'm not frothing, but I do have a story. Oh, my retainer. All right, hold on. Let me stick it back in here. My dentures. I went to Sears the other day. I had to purchase something, you know, one of those necessities in life. And as I was sauntering about the store, I noticed a big appliance, you know, right in the middle of a walkway. And I looked at it. I looked at the top of this appliance. It was a stove, if I'm correct. And I saw a piece of paper taped to it. And, of course, I'm curious. I walked up to it and looked at the paper, and sure enough, it was a receipt. Someone had purchased this appliance. And on the receipt, yes, you guessed it, listeners, and me, the purchaser's full name full address, phone number, and unfortunately the last four digits of whatever credit card they used to buy it, but taped right on the appliance, sitting out there for any walker by to write down. Actually, I think I did write it down. I did. I'm not going to look for it now, but I did write it down. That is unbelievable to me. I can't believe Sears cares about somebody who spent their hard-earned money on their products. I think it's... Keep going. Don't lose that page, Joe.
An award for the security breach of the week, where we basically had a lot of fanfare and drum roll and announced the compromise of the week.
That is phenomenal. I'm going to start doing that. So, Sears, you get the very first ever... Oh, man, I wish I could play Welcome Back, Carter. You win the first ever lack of privacy, lack of security award.
It'll be like the Flying Frickle Finger of Fate Award.
Perfect.
Actually, I was just noticing something, and I've been meaning to tell you this for a while.
Please.
You've been preoccupied, but at work, we keep pretty much every single application of people who have applied for us.
Right.
People on the applications not only stick their name and address and phone numbers on there, but on the back they also stick their social security numbers. I got curious one day, I looked back there, and sure enough, the majority of people stuck their social security numbers on the back of their applications.
Well, that they have to. They have to because of taxes.
For taxes. This is an application to applying for the job.
Well, but they're going to ask for it because, well, I don't know. That's a good question. I think you have to give it when you apply for the job because you're going to have to pay income taxes when you get the job.
Well, I ended up discussing with my manager. I was looking because we were looking at some application for someone she wanted to hire. I said, you know, wow, they set their social on the back of there. And she said, I don't do it for mine. It's too dangerous, you know.
Huh. Now, see, I don't know if you have to legally do that if you want a job. I bet the business will probably require it. And if you say, no, I don't want to give it to you, well, then you probably won't get the job. But guess what? Sears wins the first award, but that's not all. I had to use the restroom, as I'm prone to do. I had to use the facilities.
So someone write their number on there, too, for a good time.
That's right.
Call.
Call the robot, the sex robot. I was heading back to the head, and I noticed on this huge blank wall, two square doors flush against the wall with chrome handles, about 2 feet square. And naturally, I opened it, and sure enough, rows and rows of 66 blocks, their whole phone system tied in right there, right on a wall as you go to the bathroom. And no lock, nothing. Anybody can just walk right up, open it, do whatever you want.
Hey, I was looking for the bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, I thought the bathroom was... I thought you had to crawl through this little door to get to the bathroom. You could. You know, you wouldn't have to.
Pretend like you're blind. That's what you should do.
You're blind? Yeah, hooking up a base box. I'm blind. I'm just hooking up a base box. They would... You know what? I bet you anything, the Sears employees wouldn't even know. They wouldn't know if you were looking in there. They wouldn't know if you hooked up a base box. They wouldn't know if you hooked up a freaking recorder and, you know, got everybody's credit card numbers as they called up Sears and ordered their...
Not supposed to be here, sir. Please leave the vicinity. Thank you.
What are you doing with that? You're a terrorist. No.
Can I help you? Yes. Could you show me where the wiring closet is?
Do you have a PBX here in the store?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Well, so Sears, you get the double whammy. That is just. Yeah. You know what? And I really think that's part.
Quest. Doesn't that sound like a sci-fi show or something? The Man from Quest.
The Man from Quest does. I think it is. They're all aliens of Quest anyways. That's my phone bill. You know, I haven't had trouble with Quest lately. I don't know. Actually, I haven't got a phone.
I got stuck in, like Telco Never Never Land trying to ask them about line filters and VDSL because the ADSL use different filters than the other protocol, and I'd have a problem with a fax machine that doesn't want to roll over properly. And I tried to call them up, and they just kept bouncing me around. I was talking to somebody in Colorado, and then they put me on hold.
Now, that's where their, I believe that's where their headquarters is, and I believe they have a huge call center in Colorado. Most of your calls probably go there. So they were no help.
No help at all. I mean, well, first of all, they don't even know that they offer a VDSL. They kept trying to correct me, and it was so funny. I got a really deep voice, and they kept saying, sir, and I corrected them 3 times on the phone. I said, look, I smoke, so I have a deep voice, so it's ma'am. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, sir.
You probably made him nervous, me. Probably made him real nervous.
Well, I'm sorry, he's not used to older women.
Yeah, not to mention intelligent women. An intelligent caller, period, probably.
I don't know. I was like, you know, dealing with one of these weight slave robots. I should have been using my machine.
That's right. Welcome to Quest. I've got a new project, and I know everybody's going to mock me, think this is goofy, but I saw this in a magazine, back of a magazine, an ad for this particular product, for this technology, and it intrigued me because of who they're marketing this particular technology to. What it is, it's called StatCard, and you can go to StatCard.com. There's actually a bunch of URLs you can go to check this out. What is StatCard? StatCard, or X-Action Skate StatCard, they're smart cards. Basically, collectible smart cards with pro skaters on them, Willie Santos and others. And this just intrigued me. They're marketing smart cards as a toy, as an avocation to young people. And I had to get it. So I went and I bought it. I went to a big retailer. The reader, which is RS-232, and it has a PS2 pass-through for your mouse, which I guess just says, I guess it's kind of like a hardware key, I don't know. It hooks up to your PC, and it's, of course, Win32. And then you buy, and that's $20. Then you buy the athlete cards, and there's 10 of them. I bought Willie Santos. Bob Burnquist? There's others. And they're like $8, and it's a plastic card, and it's got the little smart card chip in it. And the first thing I did, naturally, and right now it's just high level, I've just started. I just messed with it once. Hook it up to your box, download some software, and you basically go to this site, this whole Flash, XML, Shockwave site to play games, to, play head-to-head against other card owners. And here's what I found. Where's my paper? Like I said, this is high level. I'm still getting into it. Oh, man, I can't. There it is. Okay. So basically what I did, since we're on Win32, I went and got Win PCAP, and I'm not using WinDump anymore. I'm using Analyzer, which is basically a front end for WinDump, which is, of course, Win32, TCP dump. And I basically played this and sniffed traffic. Hold on.
You haven't paid the rent. Damn. It's your child, too. Why haven't you called me?
Sorry. I'm very popular tonight, apparently. Okay, so what I did is I, of course, start up the sniffer and start sniffing traffic. And what I found is that this, it reads a card, but it doesn't read much. Well, first let me go over a few things. I found a couple of URLs. H2H, xactionskate.com, that's head-to-head. What else? Name, xactionskate, game, xactionskate. You'll find the IPs. They're running MS Microsoft IIS 4.0, which is really strikes me as odd. I mean, they spit that banner out everywhere. Who knows if that's true? Found two CLS IDs. I think I captured about 5,000 packets the first time. Found two CLS IDs, one for an embedded Shockwave Flash object, and another that I've yet to identify. I couldn't find anything about this CLS ID. Now here's my initial theory after just sitting down looking at 5,000 packets roughly. What it does is when you do anything on the site, it reads your card. It reads the data on the card. Anything at all. And I think I found the chunk of data that it reads. And here's what I think it does. I think basically every card has its own signature. This one, the Willie Santos card, it has a number, and it holds other data. What I think it does is I think that the stat card basically reads only certain parts of the data on the card, or there's only certain parts of the data on the card to make a signature. Like for the Willie Santos card, for Willie, it reads the W. If it's card 832-000-832, it reads an 8, and that's what it sends. So basically, there's only 10 cards. It's not very difficult to make a unique signature using the beginning of each piece of data. So that's what I believe it does. I'm going to go in and play with it more, change some data, see what happens, see how that chunk of data changes as I change things from the site on the card. Then eventually I'll probably bust it. Hopefully I'll bust it open, check the voltages, find out everything that's going out of the card. Maybe, I don't know.
Hey, Adol. We scan this and put it on the web.
No. Are you saying this is boring? I'm talking about hacking stat cards. No, this is my new project.
I'm just curious.
And no, I'm not. And then, what did you draw? She's an artist. Mary Chan's an artist. What'd you draw here? Yes, exactly. Pirating the internet. Is that me?
Yeah.
I'm a pirate and my sword, and those are you too.
Yeah, I'm like a guy out of the 80s. Yeah, I'm like sweat
then. No, you need the mullet. You need the mullet if it's 80s. There you go. No, I'm not going to put that on the internet. So that's hacking stat card. And, you know, I've got Neverwinter Nights, but I wanted to hack this instead. I went and got this, and I played with this instead. I know that's probably sick, but I really want to know how this works. Like I said, I found that chunk of data that it sends every time you change something, and I'm going to figure it out. I want to make a phone call. Meme, is that cool with you?
I can hear you.
I am going to make a phone call. And this is, I hope listeners don't think this is base, but...
It is.
It is and it isn't. It's actually kind of useful. It's a phone sex line. But lots of fun, PH fun, but it's a little different. It's actually, it could be useful, oh, I don't know, if you have, I shouldn't say enemies. Let's say it could be useful if you're beige boxing. I call it the girl callback line. It's an 800 number. And when you call it, well, let's just do it. I'll be right back, meme. You know what? I'm going to... Meme, you there? Meme. Okay. Robot meme and the real meme.
That's me.
Hold on. I'm going to go back and I'm going to... I'm going to Optivert before I do this. I'll be right back. This is ironic. I think Screamer's going to do something similar. I talked to Screamer the other night. I was going to actually give it to him. I was going to give him a bunch of numbers just because we were on the a con line, and I thought it was time to freak. Oh, I've lost my place. 2880.
Is this the, is this like the other phone lines you have me listen to?
No. Yeah, and listeners, get a chance. Check out the Hack of Mine con line. It's a lot of fun. What's going on? All right, I'm having technical difficulties, meme. Exactly. 1 second. I'll be right back. Okay. My apologies. I also got a Quest Conference Bridge number if anybody's interested. And the Pesco. Actually, I think Pesco's dead. What is going on? Where's freaking AT&T?
You killed them.
You cannot kill AT&T. AT&T. Windows. Oh, I don't believe this. Hold on. Are you there, meme? No, I think I lost meme. Are you there?
No.
She's playing me.
Meme?
Oh, crap. I can't dial her up now. I've got to.
Killed me.
All right, where's her number?
You're going to have to edit this.
No, I'm not going to edit anything. This is a real freaking radio. I don't edit the show, folks. I do it. You know what? It is recorded, but I don't edit. I edit some stuff. We talked about this right before the show, actually, with memes. To tell her what goes on. I don't edit. I edit things only when, like, if we're making calls and personal information about, you know, somebody we call comes out. You know, I give them the courtesy of editing that. If anything personal about us comes out, that's about it. Otherwise, we start recording. We record. That's it. I add on the music at the end, and I give it to you guys.
We still need Rocky Radio outtakes.
Right? Yeah, someday I will have outtakes. So
we got like two of them now.
Wait a minute. So there's who am I talking? All right, hold on. I gotta hang up. Yeah, there we go. There's proof. Great.
Killed me.
Some freak I am. Okay, let me do it.
You're a freaker. I just have the pain kind.
All right, let me dial here. They cannot hear this. So. Okay, there we go. We're getting meme back.
Yay. Yeah.
I do. I'm so sorry, meme. I'm having a little trouble. I'm not elite freak this evening. I'm not going to optivert. I'm going to try this one more time. Just for our listeners. And I'll give them the number when I'm done here. All right, hold on. So now this phone sex line is getting my number. And I found this scanning. I'm going to wait till it rings.
Girl, one-on-one.
You there, meme?
And a
If you're calling to find out more about our service, press 1 now. If you're coming back for more, or you're calling from a rotary dial phone, your call will be transferred immediately. For information on credit card and personal check billing options, press 1 now. For information on phone billing options, press 2 now. You get the hottest live one-on-one phone fantasy there is. Our permanent charge is just $3 per minute with a 5-minute minimum. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and your personal check over the phone. Your callback is direct, not collect, so nothing shows up on your phone bill. And since we have no mailing list, nothing shows up in your mailbox either. With the help of one of our customer service representatives, you'll be getting your call back in about 5 minutes. We're transferring your call.
Oh, shit, they're going to be calling back now.
Yeah, but we got that dentist office music.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You got $3 a minute. Crap, they're going to be calling me back. Oh, man.
You're not used to.
Yeah, I just won't answer. I just want, they can't charge me if I don't answer. Right. So now, listeners, did you hear the useful part in that? And that is the callback, the direct callback. Base box it, people answer the phone. What? What are you talking about? Who's this?
We can give them?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
We know. Yes, we can give them Reds. Reds on this guy we know, and we like making fun of him.
Well, that's good. We're not going to prank call any of your friends.
He deserves
show.
It.
No. Now, here's that number, folks.
He's not our friend, otherwise we wouldn't be cranking.
I guess so. Here's that number. So
we
tried
to hook him up with
useful
guy
for
baseball.
Useful for base boxing.
Yeah, we're cruel.
800-421-1285. Not your typical phone sex line. I was going to go through actually both my black books and just make a bunch of phone calls, but the show is actually so good and I don't have time, and I'm glad we don't have time. So, Meme, we will be in contact to make this show in the future, correct?
Yes, absolutely, because I've already started calling material and whatnot, just trying to figure out what kinds of stuff we can cover and get some free artwork out there so people can proliferate.
Yeah, I'm going to put your artwork up on the site, if not tonight, tomorrow, very soon. I actually saw that piece at the meeting, and I loved it, and I can't thank you enough for sending it. You let me know, I'll do whatever you want on the site to accommodate you. You want text files, you want art, you want a whole gallery, I'll do it for you.
That would be really badass.
Yeah, just let me know, and I'll do
it.
It was
right?
Great meeting you, Meme.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skylar and Mary Chan appreciate you coming on the show, too, Meme.
I think we should start a fan club for the whole crew.
Yay!
That's right. Email oldschoolfreak.com. We'll send you. Actually, hey, after HQK2, free stickers. Anybody who emails an article.
Ego stroke.
Yes, right.
They have pixelated portraits or something.
Yeah, I've got a picture up on the side of me. Yeah, Meme, you want to send one? Wait a minute.
Well, I'm actually going to go to the trial that's going to be this fall. All the planets piling onto the MP3 industry, and I'm going to be in the gallery, and I'm actually making a pixelated mask, and I'm going to bring a pair of opera glasses.
Hell yeah.
I'm actually going to be in the peanut gallery when they have the RIAA trial this October.
No one is going to understand that meme.
Oh, I know. I keep forgetting. Well, to our listening audience, there's going to be a trial in which all the multiple planets, practically any publisher on the planet, is going to be present for a lawsuit against Kazaa and Charmin Networks, and it's going to be this October, I think. I can't remember the exact date, but it's going to be in California.
Well, I'm glad you explained that too, but what I mean is no one's going to get that in the courtroom. I would think you might even get kicked out for something like that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if I want to spend 6 months in jail. I think the guy that, yelled out during the impeachment, got put in jail for 6 months.
Oh, my word.
Maybe I'll wear a gown and so, it's like Oscars night. What are you wearing to the RIAA trial?
Personally, I wear a three-piece.
I like the idea of a fan club, actually. You email us and we'll send you autographed pictures of ourselves. It'll be fun.
Yeah, people really
but
want
show
that.
Show no personal information.
Yeah. Yeah, people want that.
It's like anybody they don't get a modeling release from. That's what I'm going to do is on Halloween, instead of wear a skeleton suit, I'm going to wear a leotard, and I'm going to digitize myself and silkscreen it onto the leotard, and I'll be digitized so no one can see who I am.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, no facial recognition there.
That's right. Total anonymity.
I'm Dual Parallel.
And I'm Meme.
And I always say, be the media. Mary Chan.
Can I say smooch to the motherfucking nooch?
Yeah, you can. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Sweet. Smooch to the motherfucking nooch!
Skylar.
The nail that sticks up gets hammered down.
Ooh, very deep. Later.